Welcome to the Warriors of Grace podcast, hosted by Dave Jenkins. Warriors of Grace is about helping men from generation to generation become gospel men in private, in the home, in the church, and in public through the Word of God. Now for today's episode, let's join our host, Dave Jenkins.
Well, welcome back to the Warriors of Grace podcast. My name is Dave, and I'm the host for this show. And today we're going to continue our series here on the Warriors of Grace podcast, talking about sexual sin. The title of this series is Finding Genuine Joy in Christ, and this is episode 6 in this series, and it's titled Why Nighttime is Danger Time and How to Resist Its Pull. You know, nighttime is a dangerous time for those who are enslaved to sexual sin. Before I got free of my enslavement to pornography, nighttime was a very dangerous time for me, especially after a long day, especially after a difficult day at work or in life. As life happens, I felt a strong temptation to watch pornography during the evenings when I was enslaved pornography, and I often sadly gave in to the siren call of lust and selfishness. Perhaps, though, you don't struggle with pornography. Maybe you struggle with going to the store or some late-night ice cream or an extra snack after you've already eaten a full meal. Nighttime isn't only danger time for those who struggle with pornography. We all have our temptations. You know, one of the things I'm going to talk about here is this. You know, you might have had victory in this area of your life for a period of time, whether it be a day, praise God, a week, praise God, a month, praise God, or several months, even several years, maybe even several decades. Praise God as well for that. But here's the thing. You know, all it takes is that one day, that one very challenging day that you might have. And we're all going to have them. But here's the thing. Those difficult days are designed by God not to draw you away from God, but to draw you closer to God. You look at people's hard days in the Bible, and they had a choice. Either go to the Lord in prayer and trust the Lord, or they trust themselves. What happens when you trust yourself instead of trusting the Lord? Well, you're trusting that you are adequate in and of yourself. You are trusting that in and of yourself, that you are sufficient by yourself. But the thing is in the Bible we are taught that we have a sufficient Savior who meets our every need. In fact, in Ephesians 1, we're told that the grace of God superabounds towards us at every juncture, at every stage, at every phase of our life. Hear me say this way. Jesus is sufficient for you. So whether your struggle is at nighttime, Jesus is sufficient for you. Whether you struggle at the daytime, at your job, looking at illicit images, or maybe Instagram, or videos, and so on and so forth. We all have times of danger. It takes intentionality to guard your heart and protect your marriage. In fact, that's what Proverbs 4:23 says. Guard your heart with all due diligence, because out of it flows the issues of life. As I've walked with God, I've learned that it's best for me to leave my phone charging on my nightstand if I'm alone at night. And I don't pick it up for any other reason than if my wife, my mom, or a close friend calls or texts. This ensures that I'm guarding my heart against temptation. in the evening, I don't even get on my laptop except for rare circumstances where I have a burning article idea and feel the need to write it. I spend my evenings reading, typically with my wife, talking to her, or I'm at some event with a good friend. If you struggle with any kind of sexual sin of any kind in your life, nighttime is danger time. And so set yourself up well to resist the lure of temptation, its pull, whether that's putting your phone on the nightstand or somewhere else in your residence. Like, my office is downstairs. So if I didn't leave it on the nightstand, I could leave it in my office. But of course, if there was an emergency, I wouldn't know about it. Pornography cripples the lives of many men. It sells them a bill of goods that seems to promise so much. But at the end of the day, it doesn't deliver. And instead leaves them bound in the shackles of guilt and shame rather than in the freedom of hope in the gospel. You see, men, to fight for our growth in God's grace, to stand firm in the Lord, we need to do three things. And those are the three things I'm going to talk with you today about. We need to first grow in the gospel. And second, we need to understand the place of accountability. And third, we need to develop a plan of attack. So first, we need to grow in the gospel. First, we need to come to understand that our sin offends a holy God. Jesus didn't die for our well wishes. He didn't die so we could all have a group hug and join a social club, right? Instead, he died in the place and for sinners, for their sin, so they would put their sin to death. Theologians call this progressive sanctification, that is, daily growing into who we are now in Christ. In other words, because we are his and he is ours, now we can love God and others as he intends for his glory. And we can see the awfulness of our sin only because the veil that clouded our vision has been removed by God when he replaced our heart of stone with a new heart, with new desires and new affections for his glory. And when nighttime temptation comes, it's not the time to prepare against the allure of lust, the time to prepare for the siren call of lust is well before that siren call ever comes. And we do this by understanding that caving into the siren song of lust breaks our fellowship with God. And when we do that, when we sin, we remain holy Christ as his people. But Christ is not an approver of our sin. Our security, to be clear, remains in Christ, but our fellowship with the Lord is severed. It's broken. It's disrupted because of our sin. This is why 1 John 1:9 tells us, if we confess our sin, he is faithful and just to forgive us of our sin and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. If we say that we don't have sin, 1 John 1:6 tells us that we are deceived. Sadly, and I say this sadly, my experience over the last decade and more ministering to men is that many Christian men, and I don't usually like to lump people into categories, but my experience has taught me in men's ministry that many Christian men are deceived. They have bought into the lie that they can live however they want to live. They can just do whatever they want. They go to church, they get their fix, and that's enough. And the rest of their lives are a hot mess. Many young men think they can sleep around with no consequences. When consequences come, as they do, they don't own up to them. They just continue down the wrong path, away from God, instead of owning up to them. Our sin always takes us further than we want to go. In fact, nighttime is a good picture of the darkness that we give into. Rather than being in the light and walking in it, as the Bible tells us, we would rather walk in darkness, especially at night. And yet it's only because of Jesus that we can see the light, know the light, and walk in the light. That's why what we talked about over the last couple of weeks has been so important. We always live in the presence of God, who knows us and who cares for us. He knows us. He knows the thoughts and the intentions of our hearts. He knows the thoughts that we have before we think them. Men, if you think that you can fool this God who created you, who made you, who fashioned you, as Psalm 139 says, in your mother's womb, boy, you are beyond deceived. You are prideful and you are arrogant and you are haughty, as Proverbs 15 says. And that's something, pride is something that the Lord hates. And this is exactly what happens, men, when you live however you want to live. You are living a prideful life. You are living a life for yourself and for your own glory. As a Christian, you should be repelled by that idea. You should thoroughly reject that idea. Because you have been transferred from the kingdom. Paul says in Colossians, you have been transferred from the kingdom of darkness to the kingdom of the Lord Jesus. This is what conversion is. We who were enemies of God are now his friends. We who were rebels are now servants of the grace of our King and our Lord Jesus. And it's because of this that we can walk in the light, and we're commanded, because Christ has taken our heart of stone and replaced it with a new heart, with new desires and new affections. We're now commanded in 2 Peter 3:18 to grow in the grace and knowledge of our Lord Jesus. That means that we are to walk in the light, to know the one who is light in Christ, and to walk in the light that he alone provides from his word. He is revealed in his word. This is why one of the questions that I ask men as I begin to counsel them, and as I continue to counsel them, how are you doing with your time in the word? One of the biggest answers, the answer that I usually get, if the guy's honest, which if they're not honest, then it's on. But most guys will just be straight with me at that point, because they know that it'll be on and that we're going to have a conversation. And then they usually, after that type of conversation that we'll have, they just straight up tell me. Because in that conversation, I will very clearly lay out to them why they should just tell me. And I'll tell them, this is what my response is going to be. My response is going to be, you know what, brother? I'm sorry to hear that. I'm sorry to hear that you sinned. I'm sorry to hear that you're struggling. I want to show compassion. We're going to talk about this in counseling people that are engaged in sexual sin, but I want to show compassion. My heart breaks for the man who is enslaved to pornography. I want to come alongside them. I want them to be comfortable. I want them to know that I'm going to point them away from their sin and to Christ, but that I'm going to hear them. I'm going to empathize with them. I'm going to walk alongside of them, not to coddle them in their sin, but to point them away from their sin and point them to the Savior, who alone can bring satisfaction and hope. And why? You know, I remember when I first shared with a guy back in 2001, hey, you know what? I'm living contrary to the gospel. And I remember his response. It was a ministry at the time, and he said, you know what? You need to step out of that ministry. I was not expecting that. I wasn't expecting that at all. In fact, it kind of shocked me and it alarmed me. But now I see why. I see why. Because the pressures of life, they cave around you. When a guy is in a ministry, the pressures are on you. The eyes are on you. You don't have time to escape it. You don't have time to deal with the pressures and the struggles of life. And life is already stressful enough. It is. I have two parents with memory issues. I have other issues in that are well beyond that as well. In family and personal life, I mean, the stress of life, it could just cripple me. Apart from the grace and the help of Christ. And so it was a kindness. If somebody says you need to leave this ministry, it's a kindness from God. It is. It's a kindness from God. And you should take it. And you should utilize that opportunity to get the help that you need. To learn not to run away from your problems, but to run to Christ revealed in the Word of God. That's why I ask the question I do. How is your time in the Word of God? Are you just checking a box? Or are you really reading? Are you really studying? Are you really meditating and memorizing and applying the Bible? And how are you doing it, doing life with God's people? Are you doing life with God's people? Or are you just going to church, hiding there, and playing pretend? You don't want to get to know anybody. You don't want to get too close to anybody. Because if you do, you know what'll happen. They'll call you out from your stuff. And you don't want to get too immersed in the Bible because you don't want to get called on by God, the Holy Spirit, who will bring conviction to your life as you read the Bible. But do you know what something amazing is? There are ordinary men and there are ordinary women in the Bible. I know some women will listen to this, so that's why I said it that way. Although this is aimed, I'm aiming this at men. There will be some of you who will hear what I'm about to say, and you'll think, you know what? Yeah, I need to be reading my Bible. Yeah, I need to be going to church. Yeah, I need to be loving my wife. But you know, above all those things, you need to treasure Christ and prize Christ in your heart. If God has truly taken your heart of stone, and if he has replaced it with a new heart with new desires and new affections for himself, you will want to treasure Christ above all. And I'll even go further. You cannot help but treasure Christ above all. He's the only king. He's the only one who can save you from your sin. He's the only one that can help you put your sin to death. I can walk alongside of a guy. I can help them to have strategies and a plan. But if the guy relies too much on me, then I'm not doing my job. I'm not your savior. I'm not your king. I'm not the Holy Spirit. I can help you to have a plan and a strategy. But if I don't point you to the source of our hope, which is only in Christ, I'm not helping you at all. I'm actually enabling you to live in sin. I'm not enabling you to come out of the darkness and into the light. That's why when a guy comes to me and says, you know what, I'm struggling. I'm enslaved to pornography. Often they'll say addicted. I correct them and tell them, no, we talk about that. That's an enslavement. You're enslaved to pornography. And you need to come to the light. Part of coming to the light is coming to the revelation, the only revelation that God has given us so that we can know who we are and we can know our God. And the only way to do that is by reading your Bible. The only way to know that is by hearing the word preached too, not just reading the Bible, but hearing it preached on the Lord's Day on Sunday. That's part of coming into the light. It's part of having the Holy Spirit shine the spotlight on areas of your life where your life is not, where you are not living in a God-honoring way. But I've said quite a lot about that. We also have two other points. Okay? Sometimes I get a little carried away, all right? I do. But we also need to understand the second point. We need to understand the place of accountability. That I need you and you need me. We need to do life with God's people in the confines of the local church. Now, software like Covenant Eyes is very helpful, but let's be clear. If you're going to use that Covenant Eyes as the only solution, and you're going to take it away, take away the gospel from it, you're never going to find any help from Covenant Eyes or any other software. If you're not going to, that's why I said earlier, if you're not going to prize Christ above all, then you're going to keep struggling with your enslavement to pornography. Accountability, walking alongside of each other, bearing each other's burdens, and thus fulfilling the law of Christ. That's Galatians 6, 1 through 2. So important. So the third point, develop a plan of attack. We've already talked about playing pretend, playing games. Stop saying all is well and stop singing it as well with my soul when you're living in open rebellion against God. Stop it. It's not okay that you're looking at pornography however much you are. I'll just say this. You cannot deceive an all-knowing God. That means that you need to be intentional about your attack against your sin, against your pornography, whether that's at night, whether you're doing it during the day, whether you're doing it when your spouse and your kids are there. You need to make a plan of attack and you need to get help. That's one of the reasons why we talked so much about, before we did this series, about reading and studying and meditating and applying the Bible and life with God's people before we got here, because that's the plan of attack. Now, some of you say, well, that's just Christian cliche and blah, blah, blah. Stop. The Bible is how we know God. The only way to overcome in any area of our life is to go back to the Bible, to go back to doing life with God's people. If you think that that isn't a satisfactory answer, then we need, frankly, have a larger conversation. Over the years, I've been told by many men, you're giving Christian cliches. You're not giving any practicality to it. You're not giving any meat to the bone. Well, guess what? Here's the meat to the bone. Jesus is the answer. He's the answer. The only answer. The only hope. The only way. The only truth. The only life. He is sufficient in every way because he's the only one that can save sinners. He's the only one that can transform people. The Holy Spirit is in the business of bringing conviction of sin and illuminating, opening the eyes of people to the reality of their own sinfulness and to the only hope that is found in Christ alone. He is in the business of convicting people of their sin. So if there's no meat to the bone, if there's no practicality to it, then guess what? That's not my problem. This is what the Bible says. The problem is with you. The problem is that you don't think that Jesus is enough revealed in the Word of God. You don't trust Jesus. That's the problem. Because the problem is you don't want to come to the light and to know him as he's revealed in the Word of God. That's the real issue behind so many of men that are struggling. They don't want to come to the Word. They don't want to come to the light. They don't want to have their sin exposed. They are afraid and they would rather live in darkness. You know what? This is why so many men fail. This is why the church is crippled. Crippled by weak men. And you know what? This is why you will fail again and again, whether at day or night, at your workplace or at home, when your wife is present or not, because you do not want to repent of your sin. We want to turn towards ourselves for forgiveness. And we don't let go and let God. We don't overanalyze. We don't kick ourselves in the butt and kick ourselves to the curb over our sin. Instead, we turn away from our sin and to Jesus Christ alone. We do not trust our own good works. They are filthy rags, the Bible says. Instead, we trust Christ alone because he is the perfect, spotless righteousness that we need. Maybe you are listening to this today and you struggled today. Maybe it's been a while, but the seduction still lingers. Let me urge you, wherever you are in the process in this area to look to Christ, know the loveliness of Christ, sing even of his great glory. Open your Bible. There you're going to learn about Christ. Get in a solid Bible believing and Bible practicing local church. And there you'll meet others, men like you, those who have issues like you, but are growing in the grace of God. Nighttime, dear brother, is danger time. Know and grow in the grace of God. Get accountability. Make a plan of attack by God's grace and utilize the means that he has given you of other men in your local church. This is why we need older men in our lives. Surround yourself with God's people. And then nighttime doesn't need to be danger time. It can be a time where you focus on your family. In fact, instead of wasting time looking at porn, you'll have more time to read God's word, to study God's word, to spend with your spouse and with your family. Lastly, stop making excuses for your own sin, for your own struggles, for your own failures. Instead, by God's grace, refuse to treat your sin lightly. And in light of the death, burial, and resurrection of Christ and the soon and imminent return of the Lord Jesus, learn that the costly sacrifice of Jesus demands that we take our own sin seriously and that we ourselves grow to be like Christ in every sphere of life, all for the great name and the glory of our King. And I'll say it again. Maybe today you are struggling. And what little remains, I want to just say this. Get honest with God. He knows where you're at. He knows your heart. He knows your struggles. There's nowhere that you can go where you can fake him out. You can't go to the bathroom. You can't go to your office at work. You can't go in that closet at your work and hide where you think nobody is. He's there too. You can't go over to that friend's house and do whatever you want and think that God doesn't know. He knows. Go to that place, that hotel, do whatever you do. He sees it. He knows it. He knows when you spend money on illicit images and videos and so on and so forth. He knows. He knows. But the thing is that I'll leave you with is he not only knows what you do, but he cares enough for you that he sent forth the Son of God and the Son of Man to pay the penalty in our place and for our sin. This is what is so amazing. Jesus' first sermon, he opens the scroll. In Isaiah 61, he reads that scroll and he stops. He says, this scripture is fulfilled in your hearing. In Luke 4. It's fulfilled. That passage in Isaiah 61 is all about the reason why Jesus came. He came to set the captives free. Jesus, the Son of God and the Savior of sinners, fully God, fully man, he came under the sentence of death to pay the penalty that you and I justly deserve. And he was buried and he rose again and he ascended to the right hand of God. And Christ is soon returning. You see, because of Christ, there is genuine joy. Because of Christ, there is genuine freedom. If you belong to Christ, today I plead with you to repent and to turn and to trust your sufficient Savior and King. He's enough. He's enough. The question is, will you be satisfied by him or not? I want to thank you for listening or watching this episode of the Warriors of Grace podcast. Until next week, may God bless you and keep you.
Thank you for listening to the Warriors of Grace podcast. If you enjoyed the show today, please subscribe, leave a rating on the app, and share our episode with your friends and family. If you want to, you can follow us on Instagram at Servants of Grace, on Twitter at Servants of Grace, or search Servants of Grace on Facebook. You can also find our show on the front page of the website servantsofgrace.org.